Pat Duggins, APR News at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa.
For APR News, I'm Stan Ingold in Tuskegee.
I'm Alex Aubuchon, APR News in Gilbertsville, Kentucky.
I'm APR student reporter Miranda Fulmore in Tuscaloosa.
This is student reporter Katie Willem, APR News in Birmingham.
President Trump stopped off in Pensacola as part of a weekend trip to the Gulf Coast. The event brought him less than 20 miles from the Alabama border just 4 days before a hotly contested special election for Alabama's junior U.S. Senate seat. Before the rally began, I asked Gwen McCrory of Theodore, Alabama, who she would be supporting in the special election.
For everything he's done in his past, I hope he brings that with him. He's a good guy.
Mark Glass, also of Theodore, was less resolute.
Just Republican, just always. I have to. It's obligated at this point.
President Trump didn't spend much time discussing the election, but he did urge.
You know, folks, in our system, there's no way it can function without consensus. We don't need another extremist up in the United States Senate.
Former Vice President Joe Biden provided the star power and drew a sharp contrast between Doug Jones and his Republican opponent for the U.S. Senate, Roy Moore. The former U.S. attorney was quick to mention his prosecution of two Ku Klux Klansmen in the 1963 16th Street Baptist Church bombing.
When you are on the right side of history and the right side of justice, you can do anything.
You remember the Rodney King affair, right? The police beat the shit out of the guy. The Tuskegee story is the Rodney King story of medicine.
Meet Peter Buxton. He's known as the whistleblower on the Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis on the Negro male. In popular culture, it's also called the Tuskegee syphilis experiment.
Good morning. We give honor to Almighty God.
Buxton was the guest of honor at a ceremony at the Tuskegee History Center. It marked the 20th anniversary of the official White House apology for the syphilis experiment. The audience in Tuskegee included.
Nobody will ever know how we felt on that day.
APR listeners first met Erica Fikes a year ago. That's when her family filed suit over the death of her father, Philip Anderson. The suit alleges Tuscaloosa County jailers ignored Anderson's screams of pain from a perforated ulcer. He later died. There's been no settlement, so now a trial date has been set for April.
The total solar eclipse put Hopkinsville, Kentucky on the map. It was home to the point of greatest eclipse, 2 minutes and 40 seconds of totality. But an hour west on the shore of Kentucky Lake, a sleepy state park was also overrun with eclipse chasers from all corners of the country. One of them was Barry McKernan. He's an astronomer at the City University of New York.
If we can catch it, the moon's shadow is going to rush across this lake at about 3,000 miles an hour. And so we have about a second right at totality to see if we can catch that.
I'm APR student reporter Miranda Fulmore.
This is something my mom would not approve of at all. This, in her eyes, this is like basically prostitution.
Back in Tuscaloosa, Jane says she's a sugar baby and it works.
I did an online thing and made, like, a guy just like wanted a video and I made $50 off of a 22 second video. He just like PayPal'd me. He just like wanted me to like get on my hands and knees and that was it. So that was kind of nice.
Anyway, speech to the left, siren on the right.
Okay.
Even after organizing two protest marches, the megaphone still takes getting used to.
There's obviously a large contingent of people who are not happy and who are very worried and concerned.
That's Mona Ochoa Horshock. She's the unofficial spokesperson of the group gathering outside the federal courthouse in Tuscaloosa.
We would just like for him to answer our questions and also hear our concerns.
The hymn Ochoa is referring to is Alabama's senior U.S. Senator Richard Shelby. She and her associates want a town hall, and up to now, they haven't gotten one.
Hi, this is student reporter Katie Willem for Alabama Public Radio News.
Have you ever seen a SANE facility before?
Mm-hmm. Let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
That's Meg McGlamory. She's the executive director at the Crisis Center in Birmingham. This includes what's called a SANE facility. SANE is short for Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner. One of the first things you notice is the art on the walls.
They're done by survivors and people who've worked with survivors to help show people that they can get through it and that they're not alone with what they're feeling.
Nose guard De'Ron Payne and cornerback Anthony Averett helped give Clemson the lead for the first time and to stay ahead. Payne was penalized for unsportsmanlike conduct and Averett for pass interference. That followed two touchdowns by running back Bo Scarborough and a 68-yard pass to O.J. Howard for another score. Crimson Tide head coach Nick Saban says losing never feels good.
I think every loss is very painful, and my loss is really for the bad feeling that I have for the players who've worked so hard.
Greensboro is the home of HERO, the Hale Empowerment Revitalization Organization. They have a project called HERO Bike.
The bike shop, I think, was founded in 2009.
That's Kaylee Cole Sigmund. She helps run HERO Bike. They make bicycles, and the sales from those go towards benefiting housing in the Black Belt. Now, the bikes they make are not your typical run-of-the-mill bicycles. They're made out of a renewable resource found all over southwestern Alabama, bamboo.
Bamboo grows prolifically around the area. It's everywhere. It's pretty hard to get it.
We're heading into a collection of shops in downtown Cullman. While business as usual goes on downstairs, something else is going on upstairs. A midwife is at work. Karen Brock uses a handheld heart monitor on one of today's clients. James Parker Nelson and his wife Holly are expecting their fourth child. And Holly says, before you ask, yes, they're repeat customers and so is their extended family.
Well, this midwife delivered my husband's two of his siblings. So we had already heard about her and she knew his family. And I guess people who know midwives, I think she comes pretty highly recommended. We all love her.
If you're into cats, then the Cat Fanciers Association Cat Show in Birmingham is the place to be. For most of us, dogs go woof and cats go meow, but there are different breeds of both. Here at the Cat Show, we met one contestant.
His register name is Cotton Top Good Time Tease. We just call him Ty around the house. He is a Persian.
Emily Conaway brought Ty all the way from Springfield, Illinois to compete.
You've got different things you have to go through.
Band, clear, band, hey! Band, clear, band, hey!
500 University of Alabama students and faculty members all signed a letter for UA President Stuart Bell. It asks the university to become a sanctuary campus opposed to President Trump's travel ban. Another 50 students formed the protest march to deliver that message. March organizer David Meek says 27 students and two faculty members are directly impacted by the ban on seven predominantly Muslim countries.
Their lives have really already been turned upside down. Many of them are not sleeping, can't attend classes, and we're really trying to draw attention to the struggles that they're facing.
Advocates working to fix problems with rural health care say Alabama is ground zero nationally. Studies often rank Alabama with the highest infant mortality rate in the U.S. The state has the largest number of diabetics in the country. Alabama is also home to the city of Gadsden, which had the lowest life expectancy in the nation in 2016. Despite all this, rural hospitals in the state receive some of the lowest reimbursements nationally from Medicare. That's blamed for 80% of Alabama's hospitals currently operating in the red. The Alabama Public Radio News team has spent the year looking into rural health care issues, some possible remedies, and the people whose health may be at stake. APR's Pat Duggan starts us off with this report.
We're losing about $1 million a year.
That's George Alford. He lives in rural Wilcox County, and he's not talking about his family budget.
Check out Jones Hospital. How can I help you?
Alford is on the board of John Paul Jones Hospital in the town of Camden.
We couldn't even get groceries delivered to do the meals without pulling some strings with some people to, you know, get enough money to pay off, you know, for bread.
It gets just crazy. Everybody's running and helping.
Elizabeth Kennedy shows us around. She's the chief executive officer at John Paul Jones. Before you ask, the hospital isn't named for the famous naval war hero. Dr. Jones was a prominent physician in Camden. This hospital is a cash-strapped facility in a poor county.
All year long, the Alabama Public Radio News team has been investigating rural health care in the state. Studies often list Alabama as having the worst infant mortality rate in the nation. One factor is the lack of maternity units in rural hospitals in Alabama. This can lead to premature births or delayed care, which are often blamed for early infant death. APR's Pat Duggins has more on one hospital business model that could help. But possible changes to the Affordable Care Act might make matters worse.
It's hard for us to support each other because we're kind of just surviving.
We met Kendall Gilchrist during our story on getting smaller hospitals in rural communities. We spoke to Kendall and her husband Eric at their home in Perry County. The Gilchrists have three children. Kendall recalls the pregnancy that might have made it four.
Early on, I got sick, and I thought it was just a stomach bug. I'm playing, you know, phone tag with this practice that I barely know, 90 miles away, talking to on-call physicians, trying to weigh, is it worth driving 180 miles round trip just to be told that I have a stomach bug? I end up choosing not to go in. And then about 5 weeks later, when I go to my monthly appointment, I find out the baby had died.
All year long on Alabama Public Radio, we've been looking at rural health care. Advocates of rural health in Alabama say one of the biggest issues is access to health care in rural areas. The state is facing a massive shortage of physicians, and the doctors we do have are largely concentrated in larger cities. The situation gets worse when it comes to specialty and subspecialty care. The vast majority of the state's specialists are either in Birmingham, Huntsville, or Mobile. APR's Alex Aubuchon reports on how doctors are starting to use technology to bring that specialty care into rural Alabama.
So how is everything today?
It's good.
Yeah?
Mary Epp is 84 years old and a home dialysis patient. She's at a routine follow-up appointment with her endocrinologist, Dr. Eric Wallace, at the University of Alabama at Birmingham School of Medicine. But Mrs. Epp isn't in Birmingham. She's at the Dallas County Health Department, 75 miles to the south.
They can not only see each other face-to-face, but they can use enhancements to listen to the heart rate, to monitor the EKG, to look in the...
I'm Alex Aubuchon, Alabama Public Radio News. More students at the University of Alabama are making their voices heard regarding President Donald Trump's recent executive actions on immigration. APR's Pat Duggins reports the group is asking university leaders to take action of their own.
Ban queer, ban hate, ban queer, ban hate.
500 University of Alabama students and faculty members all signed a letter for UA President Stuart Bell. It asks the university to become a sanctuary campus opposed to President Trump's travel ban. Another 50 students formed the protest march to deliver that message. March organizer David Meek says 27 students and two faculty members are directly impacted by the ban on seven predominantly Muslim countries.
Their lives have really already been turned upside down. Many of them are not sleeping, can't attend classes, and we're really trying to draw attention to the struggles that they're facing.
Auburn University says 49 of its students are affected by the executive order. The University of Alabama in Huntsville says 19 students are from countries mentioned in the ban. Pat Duggins, APR News in Tuscaloosa.
Thanks to APR student intern Peyton Shepard for her help putting together that story. An Alabama House committee has approved a bill in response that would block funding for state universities that defy immigration laws. Earlier this week, the Americans First Act bill was passed by the House Committee on State Government. It states all public colleges in Alabama have to comply with existing state and federal laws on immigration or risk losing all their state funding. The bill comes as colleges in Alabama and nationwide consider adopting sanctuary campus policies. Those would protect international students and faculty affected by President Donald Trump's recent executive actions limiting travel and immigration. Representative Phil Williams of Huntsville sponsors the Americans First Act. He says the bill really only affects university leadership.
It's got nothing to do with students and immigrants and foreign students. It's basically directed at our university leadership to let them know that if they don't follow federal law and state law, their funds are at risk.
Representatives opposing the measure say they see no reason to pass a law telling universities they have to obey the law. After passing committee, that bill can now be considered by the full House of Representatives. And the Mobile Police Department is encouraging victims in unsolved rape and sexual assault cases to give them a call. WKRG reports Mobile investigators are reopening hundreds of unsolved rape cases after receiving an $800,000 grant from the federal government. Department officials say that grant has allowed them to allocate more detectives and other resources to look into those cases. Now for today's forecast from WVUA Chief Meteorologist Richard Scott.
Turning warmer on this Friday, we'll top out in the mid-60s. Look for upper 60s to near 70 near the Gulf Coast. Expect plenty of sunshine today statewide, but clouds increase over the weekend. There could be a stray shower on Saturday and Sunday. The risk of that, only about 10%. Most areas will be dry. On WVUA, Chief Meteorologist Richard Scott, that's your local weather forecast.